We want to just have a prayer, and then I'll do some introductions. Father, we are so happy to come into your presence. We're so happy to be with our friends and guests on this phone line to talk about fasting, talk about prayer, to talk about the effect of fasting and prayer upon finances, upon business, whether it's business owner or whether it be someone who would be considered maybe a homemaker or someone that's retired, that God still works in our finances, Lord, when we spend time in prayer and fasting. So we just ask for the direction of the Holy Spirit upon everything that is being said tonight. We are your servants. We are here to serve those who are on this line in sharing the truths that you have revealed to us and to answer any questions to the best of our ability after we finish up this particular teaching session. So we give you praise now, Father, in Jesus' name. So let me welcome our hosts who are on the call with us tonight. First of all, my name is Frank Blaylock. Dr. Judy is one of our hosts tonight. Dr. Judy is a linguist, professor of theology, whole list of things. She's traveled internationally. Daniel Evans and Chris Thompson and myself, Frank Blaylock, we are part of an organization called Coast to Coast Coaching, LLC. We're a team of guys that are involved with speaking engagements, business training, coaching. If you want to look that up, you can go to danielevans.org and you will see the Coast to Coast Coaching, and you can read the detailed bios and see just the vast experience of these other gentlemen. And we're available to serve you as we serve the Lord. So, but before we get into talking about finances and the supernatural that is in operation during fasting, I thought it would be good if Daniel would just come back, Daniel, and share something about fasting, because we can move quickly in a brief recap of the last call, but let's kind of refresh our memory, too, on fasting, brother.
Thank you, Brother Frank. I just started a Q&A, so if anybody has questions, feel free to hit star 6, and that will enter you into the queue. We are practitioners of fasting. The Bible supports fasting. It's not a commandment, but we do see Jesus saying the scripture says when you fast. It never says if you fast, but when you fast. Even Jesus was approached by disciples of John, and Pharisees even brought up the question of why his disciples did not fast, said because he's with him. As long as the bride is with the groom, the bride is with the groom, it's hard to fast, but there will be a day when they're separated that's the time to fast. So Jesus was in essence telling us that when he left us, it's time to fast because we want to enhance our prayer life. We want to enhance every area of our life, and it seems like in this day and time, especially in the recession that we've been experiencing here in the U.S. and also has touched very much the world economy, that finances are very important. As a matter of fact, I've been doing counseling for years myself before I moved into coaching more so. In families, and especially in strife between husband and wife, finances is still number one. The reason for problems. So finances is very important. And that's why when we pray and fast, we want God to move in our finances. We want to be blessed. And business is very important. And I would like to stress this, Brother Frank, at this time, is that anyone that thinks the churches or any other organization should keep them up, that's not what the Bible teaches. As a matter of fact, business is what keeps the churches up and any other organization. So we need to be blessed in our businesses, our finances. We need to have great streams of revenue coming in. So all of this involves all of our lives and touches us very much. So since we are practitioners of prayer and fasting, that's why we want to make this fourth seminar about the supernatural and finances, because I've seen personally many breakthroughs in my prayer and fasting experiences, just as these other three hosts has as well. So anybody that needs money, just raise your hand. I don't want to have to see you. I know you probably raised your hand. because we all need breakthroughs in that area from time to time, if not all the time, as I hear many tell me. So, Brother Frank, fasting is very important, and that's what this these teleseminars is a lot about, is to promote fasting. So if you got anything to add to that, you certainly can.
Sure. I wanted to just kind of go right into the definition of supernatural that we talked about last week. Referring to my thoughts, maybe just change my thoughts just a little bit and really kind of say supernatural is when God gets into your business. It's really God transcending his own natural law, and we're going to talk about a few examples where he did that to give us a miracle that we could not get through natural or normal means. I heard someone say not too long ago, when you've done everything you can do but pray, when there's nothing else you can do but pray, then you're in a good place for a miracle. There are probably some folks right on this line tonight that are in that place. They need something that only God can provide, and for it to happen, God has to circumvent the natural law, the natural process, the natural world system, which requires a certain amount of work for a certain amount of dollars. But when the supernatural gets involved with our finances through prayer and fasting, then suddenly we find there is a larger return. There are breakthroughs, there are connections, there are opportunities. People you never dreamed that you would meet, somehow you are connected with. They become a connector to an opportunity which could change your financial situation in just a moment. So last week we talked about several things, and Dr. Judy, I'm going to have you just work with me a little bit and let's kind of walk through the list, because when we talk about last week, we talked about just a couple examples. We'll come back to some detail. We talked about the three Hebrew boys that went to fire. We know that was a miracle. We know that was supernatural. We talked about Peter walking on the water. That's definitely supernatural. We discussed briefly in defining what the supernatural is when Christ turned the water into wine. Dr. Judy, on those three Hebrew boys, though, you have a thought that really shows how finances reach into that. Share that with us a minute.
I had the thought, not just the thought, but it was in the form of examining what happened before the furnace. Now, we're talking about finances. Yes, there was a stand for their faith, but there was also financial investment that was set up. Yes, to you might say throw those three Hebrew boys in the furnace, but the investment was that gold statue. That was a golden image or statue, and that statue was about the same measurement as the Washington Monument, and it was gold. So we're talking a gaudy display of wealth. The enemy used it to entrap and condemn. Thinking would be unto death, but there was a great monetary investment that was set up. So, as we think, I believe, as in this day, how are we to enforce, in other words, in our prayers, to be able to rise to the level of what outlandish display of finances or situations the world or the enemy will set up against the believer in this day. I believe, as the seminary, as this seminar teaches, we're getting a hold of something that is going to be not just a little add to, a little more fun or a miracle here and there, but a necessity to come up against what the enemy will throw at the church in the last day.
Amen. Something comes to mind to me as well, Dr. Judy, and I want to maybe toss this to Danny just a little bit too. Danny, I see something very particular about that golden statue itself in Mammon. Do you see what I'm seeing there?
I do, brother. I do. And, you know, Jesus warned us about that. And, you know, when we start business and we start life and start a family, we do have our eyes on, when you start a family, you first start with a husband, a wife, you know, those two look at each other and there's a gleam in the eye. Money may or may not be the front of your thoughts, but it will come up. And that's the thing about it, is money comes up in everything, but we have to make sure that we don't let mammon, the riches of the world, we don't let what someone else is doing or how prosperous they are cause us to have any negative feelings or any negative thoughts. It should help us to set higher goals, but we do have to be very careful of that. And what I admire about the three Hebrew boys, they didn't let that interfere with them at all. Their eyes was not on that. And I would think that most of the people we have on the line are believers or faith-based people, that if our eyes are on God, that's going to be the forefront of our thoughts. That's what's going to help us set our goals and everything else in life. And just as the three Hebrew boys, and I've been through the fire many a times, not because my name is Daniel, I also feel like I've been through the den of lions many a times, but we all are going to experience those things when we look to Jesus. So if we get our eyes on mammon, on the riches of the world, and still go through those type things, failure is very, you know, it's going to be there. And so, yes, brother, to answer your question, there is a relation there, and I think we need to keep our eyes and minds on Christ at all times.
Amen. Something I see there too, and you are touching on it and alluding to it, I want to expand just a little bit. We've got a good sized list to go through, so we're going to go through the rest pretty quickly. But when I see this golden image, as Dr. Judy says, that is the height of the Washington Monument made of gold, to me, I see the world financial system demanding that the righteous and everybody else bow down to the world financial system, and if you don't, it will crush you. Now, if there's ever been anybody on this line that's been through financial difficulty, been through a financial fire, or through a bankruptcy, or any other, or the threat of bankruptcy, they understand how brutal the financial system can be. It will entice you, it draws you in, it tells you you need this credit rating, you need to do this, and it draws you in. But the moment it can crush you, that same system will do that if possible. But something here is interesting too. I see another marvelous testimony of the Lord here. This system was raised up. It commanded these guys to bow down. They refused to bow down. They were thrown in the fire, but God delivered them in the fire. And so what God did, he right there, right side by side, he showed the world system, I can take care of my own. In the middle of the fire, they don't have to bow. I can still take care of my own children.
Yes. I totally
agree. And we talked a minute ago about Peter walking on the water, and that's just a marvelous miracle, and turning the water into wine, and certainly the cost of that. But then Christ multiplied the loaves and fishes on two occasions too, didn't he, Dr. Judy?
Yeah, the disciples first kind of fell into the system you were talking about, because they said, where are we going to find this kind of money, and where in the city will we find this kind of bread? They had a situation, and they kind of, I believe, they kind of did their homework, readying themselves for a miracle. Because they had already talked to the little boy and identified that here we have a little boy's lunch. Now, as we add to our life, this is so vital. We must be ready. We must, as we say, prayed up. And this is a blessing to be a part of every 2 weeks this fasting. But I believe what it is doing in us is that we are, you might say, fasted up. Because the disciples, yes, at first they almost bowed and said, what are we going to do? There's no way we're going to be able to feed these people. But they had identified this little boy's lunch. And they had kind of said, okay, we got this here, right here. What are we going to do? What could you do with this? So as we learn, as we share, as we, you know, testify during this evening, it is changing our lives. It is making us ready to walk in a supernatural way when things come up. Amen?
Amen. Amen. I'm thinking too, Chris, I'm going to pull you in here because you're kind of quiet back there. We're not giving you a chance to jump in here, but I'm going to now. Chris, I think when I see these children of Israel coming out of Egypt and I see them facing the Red Sea, we know, if you study the scripture, they came out with great wealth. So there's this miracle taking place of the Exodus, but then there's this miracle of standing in front of a sea that's just, I mean, it's impassable. That I like to just think of as for a moment that they got the knapsacks loaded with gold, silver, jewel, diamonds, but man, they're about to get killed. What are they going to do here, brother?
Well, brother, I tell you, every time, you know, we actually, every time we reap and we find something and God gives us something, we'll be responsible to make another step of faith. And they receive that, and the people, and God calls the people to give them their riches, and they had their backpacks loaded, just as you said. But when they came to the Jordan River and the water was holding them back, their faith was dwindling, and they were turning around and they were looking back. Well, looking back is the problem. We always have to keep our eyes looking forward, looking towards the Lord. The Lord used Moses at that time to raise the staff and part the sea. If we keep our eyes looking forward to what God's going to do, not looking back to situations, circumstances that's happened in the past, now you can draw on faith, draw on your positive experiences, what God has done in the past. Not looking at situations, circumstances that were wrong or bad, but faith, looking forward, looking for what God has for you, will always, always move God's hand. God's word says it's faith that pleases him. So I think looking forward, and I think that's what they were. They got caught looking back. Moses was the one that was asking God. God used him to perform a miracle to set people free. They crossed the Jordan River and, of course, you know, started on their journey in the promised land, towards the promised land. But eyes got to be on God. It's got to be on God. He's the provider. He will provide supernaturally, just as we're talking about tonight. Even when the times don't look like they're going to happen, if we keep our faith and our trust towards God, his promise is that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. It's an opportunity to grow in faith all the time, brother.
Amen. We've got this whole list here. I'm going to hit them right quick so we can kind of we've got so much other stuff and we need to get into, but I'm going to run over these, and then I'm going to ask you, Dr. Jude, if you take one of those and elaborate on every one of these. Supernatural events has money or wealth or finances attached to it. And you brought this to our attention, and I think it's splendid because I had not looked at it in this particular light the way you have shared with us and are sharing tonight. So we have already talked about the Red Sea being crossed. We talk about, obviously, we could, the Jordan River that the children of Israel crossed. We see the supernatural in play with manna coming from heaven, water flowing out of a rock. We have a story of an iron axe head swimming. We see where blinded eyes are open, crooked limbs are made straight. Take one of those, Dr. Judy. Let's touch that, and then we want to get into some personal testimonies, too, of what God has done in the lives of these hosts, because we want folks to know that prayer and fasting works specifically in our own lives, and we have examples where God has intervened for us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let us just think on the iron axe head swimming. That was not just the accident. The Lord showed up. And the fact of the matter was it was borrowed. And that was the crisis. It was a borrowed piece of perhaps very precious, very hard to replace. And remember, prophet. The prophet did not have a big income, a big salaried minister. Prophets were the poor ones. And so when that thing fell and it was lost, his first concern was, how in the world am I going to pay this back? I was responsible for this jewel. There was a need, a deep need, a need that, his life would be able to continue to be the testimony it should. He couldn't go back to it. I'm sorry about that. The thing fell in the river. I don't have it anymore. You're out and I'm out. I'm sorry. It doesn't happen like that. In the way the Lord is teaching the church to have integrity, to keep integrity, there is going to be a need for the supernatural in our lives, or we're going to fall just like the world. So the need for the supernatural and for God to show up and help out that situation was a miracle. Rocks don't float. And it is. I can apply it. We can apply it to our life. It is not just for the super wonderfuls that we look on television or the big man in the pulpit, but every one of us must be able to walk expecting and drawing upon the supernatural for our needs. And they will come up.
Amen.
We will see them.
Amen. Well, let us move on in then to, and obviously we can see now and can believe God even greater with a stronger faith, seeing how God works through supernatural ways to bring healing, to bring deliverance, to bring rescue, to bring provision, which are the examples of the miracles we talked about. So we ought to be able to believe then at this point that God is certainly able to supernaturally work in our financial situations. And, of course, as always, we need to begin with Scripture, the basis and foundation of all that we do. If the Scripture doesn't support it, I don't care how popular it is, we just have to go back to the Scripture to base our life and confidence on. But, Brother Daniel, when I look at the story of Daniel in the Old Testament, of course, I see a lot of promotion that came to Daniel, to his three friends, Mishael, Hananiah, and Azariah, which are their Jewish names. Touch on that, and let's see how fasting played a part in that.
Brother Frank, we'll, and you're referencing Daniel chapter 1, verses 3 through 16, and that is when there was a trial of faith again. And Daniel, you know, in his own heart, he'd made the decision that he wasn't going to bow down and accept the food from the king's table. He said, I'm not going to do it. And he was really answering for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as well. But the four Hebrew children decided not to partake of the king's meat or drink of his wine. So they said, let us just eat pulse. And, of course, the head eunuch said, we can't do that. You won't look as fair as the other ones. They said, well, try us for 10 days and see what happens. Now, a lot of people refer to this as being a 10-day fast. Well, you could look at it maybe as a partial fast. They did sacrifice by giving up good meats, good breads, good things to drink, and they just lived on pulse and minor things to drink. But during that time, they were sustained. Their countenance fairer than everybody else after 10 days. So you could look at this as a partial fast. And I like to stress at this time that fasting does have to do with food. And some people think you can fast other things and never food, but food is a part of fasting. You can do partial fasting, or you can do total fasting. And that's all food and water, such as Esther asked everyone else to do with her. Nobody ate or drank anything for 3 days. But this here, back to the 10 days, was a partial fast. Now, during this time, and them making the decision not to partake of the king's meat, all his delicacies, they were promoted after, because the king could see that they were fair, and all they did was eat pulse. They didn't eat the king's meat. At that time, he didn't know it, but they looked fairer. They looked like everything was going well for them. They did not bow to the world's system, just as you were talking about earlier, Frank, because we, as children of God, we have to believe that God's economy is totally different than this economy. That's why we labeled the title of tonight's teleseminar as the supernatural and finances. Usually in the world system, you don't hear the word supernatural, just finances. And I would like to say at this time, I think the next teleseminar, we're going to talk on just finances, because I believe I have some things to share with 32 years and 5 different businesses on finances, and I believe that would help people of how I got to where I was at, delivered to some things, and got blessed through prayer and fasting. But back to the story of the four Hebrew children, they did not bow to the system of the world, and because of that, they was promoted. And see, we as believers, we have to make a determination in our life. Are we going to bow to the worldly systems or to God's system? Are we going to fret and worry about the world's economy? Or we're going to be blessed and we're going to live prosperously in God's economy? That's some decisions we really need to make. And I believe we see that in this story here through Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they were promoted highly in the kingdom. And when you were promoted in the kingdom, you weren't promoted as just a person to be a beggar. You were promoted with all the delicacies, money, all the conveniences, everything the kingdom had to offer. So that's the kind of promotion we want as believers, as Christian business people, as Christian homeowners, family members. We want to prosper in God and in his system, in his economy. Okay, Brother Frank.
Well, we do know, since you're mentioning that phrase about they would not bow, let me just kind of go to Mordecai for just a moment, because that's another beautiful parallel story of promotion that comes out of humility and out of fasting. The scripture says that by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. And that's a very important scripture. We see a man, Mordecai, sitting outside the king's gate. When Haman came along, he just wanted Mordecai to bow, and Mordecai would not bow. But the very quick version of that, the time came that Mordecai was promoted. He became the king's right-hand man. He wore the king's signet ring. He was wealthy. He was a great instrument of God to bless the entire Jewish nation, without going into that whole story and going into the Jewish custom of Purim and these things. But I want to touch on that, but then I'm going to jump around here a little bit, and let's go back to some natural things that are happening. We can talk some more about Mordecai later. We can talk some about Elijah or the others. But Dr. Judy, you have experienced yourself having gone into particular fasting, needing something to move in the real estate arena. Would you share that with us, please?
Mm-hmm. Now, being a missionary called, there are requirements to get into a mission organization. And when we were first called, we were just skipping along, planning on raising a little family in a church and being in a local area. And it was a Christian world, but it was connected with some material things that we had to let go, or in the case that we were in, God had to intervene. We were in a very small town in the center of Iowa when we were called to be missionaries to Brazil. And family oriented homes that were passed down from generation to generation. There was no new homes bought or built in that day. So to have a home in a small town where everybody knew everybody, there was no influx of anyone to come in to buy because it was from one family to another who never lived outside of the county. And here we were with a call on our lives, and the mission organization, Wycliffe Bible Translator, says, okay, you must become financially solvent. All debts must be paid. You owe nothing to be ready to go to the mission field. Well, here we had this house. We planned on raising our little children in the house, raising Christian children, and live there forever until the Lord moved in. How in the world were we going to get rid of a house where there was no market, no houses for sale, no houses bought, only family knowing family and passing it down? So we at times we looked at the situation and said, well, perhaps in the Midwest they had a lot of tornadoes. Perhaps whenever any cloud came in the sky and there was a tornado warning and people were heading down to their basements, so we would say, okay, God is that move. He's going to blow this house away and we'll be off the mission. That's how desperate we were. Well, the Lord encouraged me way back then. I didn't have the blessing of a seminar such as this or books to read from Brother Daniel. I just, Old Testament, reading the Word of God and fasting worked for them. I put myself on a 10-day, big step for someone who didn't have any teaching, training, or fellowship in fasting. A 10-day fast for this house that must get through somehow supernaturally. Well, sure enough, fasting one day, long days, I tell you, when you're not used to fasting. Long days. When can I lay down and go to sleep and try to get some sleep and wake up the next day and not eat again? We're being truthful here, friends. But on the ninth day of that fast, which was a first for me as a minister, as a mission, future missionary, sure enough, someone that came up to the door and said, we have a little mobile home. We want to have a house in the city. Is there any negotiation or way that we can buy your house? It began on the ninth day, and this was a tremendous send-off of faith and the practice of fasting as a new missionary.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we know, don't we, Brother Daniel, that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and he said, if I ever needed anything, I wouldn't ask you. And he said, you've never given me anything that I didn't give to you. So he can certainly operate in this arena. Now, Chris, I know that you're a man of faith, you're a brother in the Lord, and a genuine friend of mine as well. And I know you've certainly, with the places you've been through in life, have a story that you can share too, how prayer and fasting moves things in the financial realm supernaturally for you.
Amen, brother. I tell you, you know, I've been fasting for approximately 24 years. When I first became a Christian and came to the Lord, it happened to be very timely that there was a study going on in the home church about fasting. But the Lord gave me a supernatural dream about giving up of self and about indulging in Him. And that particular dream, I look back on it now, and I can see where God was really just preparing me for the future that He had ahead. Faith. Fasting is really just another step of faith, that we're actually going to forget and take away things of the flesh, not feed the natural body, but we're going to seek things of the Spirit. Well, you know, the spirit man is what lives for eternity, and we need to be building that up. When I first became a Christian, I was so on fire for God, and I wanted Him so much that fasting became a thing that I just jumped and I mean jumped into. And I really needed to at the time. The Lord had delivered me from 15 years of drugs, and my walk was weak because of just the friends that I had. So I had to change a lot of things. And I was really seeking God about the right way to go about walking forward with Him, breaking old relationships, getting out of debt. And I had some big-time debt in tens of thousands of dollars that I owed actually for old drug deals. And it was like, Lord, I want to give my life to You, but I am in a situation. And I was fearful for my life because of the people that I was dealing with. Now, all that was brought on by self, as many things are. But God is awesome. And as I gave time to Him and I fasted, the Lord provided a financial miracle that really just came from nowhere to appease, okay, the massive debt and to at least stave off part of it, and was able to pay off half of that debt, worked out the payments to be able to get the rest of that debt. And God just really has just for years and years and years just taken care of me. And I tell you, the faith that it provides is just knowing that God loves you and His word is truth and that He said He'll provide. And if we just turn to Him, He is such a loving Father. And fasting is just a way that I think it really pleasing to God. That He says, you know, there's my child. You know, he's giving up the things of the natural man because He wants to strengthen the spiritual man. And God just pours it out. He is such an awesome God. And I just tell you, every time that I get into a place of need or need to make a financial decision, you know, I always put fasting in there. I always try to give when I fast too. That's another thing the Lord showed me. Man, to sow when you're fasting, give of your need. And if you give of your need, man, He just doubles. He pours it out in blankets. And it's just really awesome. I mean, the Lord also blessed my wife and I with our daughter. She graduated from Asheville, UNCA, and she wanted to go forward, and she was looking for an opportunity. The only two places that had the school that she wanted to go to was Harvard and Florida State. And both of them were very, very expensive, especially coming from out of state. Well, God supernaturally opened the door and through connections got her into Florida State and got her a teacher stipend and paid for the tuition. And Esther gave her a job down there to help teach while she was there. So $40,000 that we did not have to pay to get her into a school, to get her a master's degree. And it was all because of really turning to the Lord and seeking, God, Your will be done, and asking for Him, and He's seeing our heart. And I just can't say enough about what God will do when our heart is in the right motive. I think that's the real thing. A lot of times when we fast, we got to look at our motive. What is the motive that we're fasting? Because if it's not, if it's a selfish thing, you know, I don't know that God moves on those things. But if it's true from the heart and it's in alignment with His will, man, He'll show up strong, He'll show up powerful, He'll meet the need, and He'll provide what we ask for. Yes, I'm a witness.
Absolutely. Brother Daniel, I know being a businessman of 30-plus years in D.W. Evans Electric and a company called Certec, biocontainment, excellent business. And I know in our personal conversations, we've discussed many occasions where because of prayer and fasting, and of course, when people pray and fast so often, there's kind of a blurred line sometimes because you're in such a lifestyle of prayer and fasting, you may not necessarily differentiate when a particular miracle may be associated to a particular fasting period because they may come together and God just gives a sudden just a breakthrough supernaturally. Take a minute and just encourage our hearts so that we may be increased in our faith too from what God has done in your life.
Thank you, Frank. As a businessman, as you mentioned, D.W. Evans Electric was a interstate electrical contracting company. We did not do residential. It was all in high-end industrial and institutional. Our forte was health care of all forms and fashion, from clinics all the way to hospitals. Certec is an international company of biocontainment laboratories, which we have done for many governments, Canadian Air Force, Indonesia, Nigeria, all through the U.S., and several Army bases. And just remember all of that, because what I want to do, I don't want to share tonight, but I will next teleseminar. I want to share some practical things of how God helped me supernaturally through prayer and fasting, open doors and just give favor and have tremendous prosperity in just a few jobs. And then when you get more and more jobs, the prosperity just multiplied. Think outside of the box. We need to stop limiting God to inside the box, especially in our own minds. We even limit our own potential. Is that God is able to do anything exceedingly abundantly above anything we ask. And remember, this teleseminar is about the supernatural and finances. So these two has got to go together. Finances are not on the left side and supernatural is on the right. As a child of God, they go together. I would like to share this one thing that's helped me in a lot of business. I have this little cedar box that's the size of a dollar bill or any paper money, U.S. paper money. And it, when it opens up, it's about 2.5 inches deep. It's almost like a little chest. Well, I found that thing one day, and I said, God, what do I do with this little chest? And I said, I need something differently. It's something about this chest that I'm looking for. I didn't know. But through prayer and fasting, I was in the mountains. I found that same chest with a $1 million bill. Of course, it was fake. Finished in the top of it, real smooth part of the top of that little chest. And that's when God spoke to me. That's what you need. I bought that little chest. And what I did, I wrote a personal check for $1 million. And I folded it up and I put it in there. I said, God, this is what I want to be able to give to you. And, you know, this is, you can give me, and I can give it all away. Or you can give me, as I've always done, and I just give the tithe and offering off of it. So that was the intent, because I felt at peace that's what God wanted me to do. So I wrote that check and put it in there. It wasn't but about 2 weeks later I found a fake $1 million bill, and it looked so real until you turn over the back and you see this little, which they don't make $1 million bills, but I saw this little phrase, and I thought, oh, that's the other piece of my puzzle. So I took that, folded it up, and put it in that box. Well, I want to tell you, I anointed that box. I prayed over that box. I've had fasting over that box several times. But I want to tell you, I have seen that $1 million come my way several times. And I want to tell you today that God is able to do it. There's no respecter of persons. It's following his principles. God is a respecter of faith. And you know, like Anna in the Bible, some people might say, well, what about prayer and fasting? Why do we have to do that? Well, you don't. You don't have to be saved. You don't have to pray. You don't have to read the Word. You don't have to do anything. But Anna in the Bible made herself a servant to God through prayer and fasting. Read the Word. She served God through those things. So, you know, what is your heart, as Chris was talking about a few minutes ago? How do you want to serve God? If you want supernatural breakthroughs in your finances, think of those ways that you can serve him in those financial areas that you're involved with. If you've got a business, and I believe we're talking to business owners on this line tonight, and I can share with you, if you're a person of faith, if you're a man or woman of faith, you can't help it. You're a child of God. God can't help. He's God. So he's going to act like God. He's going to be like God. And he's going to treat you like a child. So if you serve him as an obedient child, and you follow the principles he's put in his word, his word also says that you'll reap benefits and rewards from following those principles. So your service to God in your business, your service to God in your personal life, your service to God in monitoring and managing your money will bring supernatural benefits to you and in those areas of finances, since that's what we're talking about. So we can't limit God. We follow the world systems and principles that work. You know, you don't want to go in and rob a bank, but if you follow the principles of going there and opening up accounts and saying, watch me, I'm going to bring more in, just following those principles, God will bless you and you'll have more money to take in. So it's following the principles of the system, mainly of God's word, and watch him work through them. And Brother Frank, I could keep on with things, but next seminar, I believe I'll share more practical things about business to be able to help people out more so in finances.
Absolutely. And I want to remind folks, too,
for all of our hosts that if you have a question that you want us to answer, because we are very, very strict about finishing our calls when we say we're going to finish them, and we're at a point right now, if you, Brother Daniel, have some calls and questions that have come in via internet or email or whatever, but if you hit star six, if you've got a question, if you'll hit star six, that brings you up into a queue. We can see you. So if we got five people, we know you're there, and we'll go to you one by one, because we'll keep rejoicing in what God's doing here. But I got some stuff I want to share, but it's just going to have to wait. So, Brother Daniel, if you've got some of those questions, as we give folks a minute or two to hit star six and queue up, we can take any questions they have. And if they're just more intent to just enjoy it, like I feel like right now, we will go to some of your questions, and I'll share a testimony myself in a minute if we have time. If not, I can do it another time.
I do have one question here from a lady named Chrissy, and she wants to know that, you know, everybody wants to get out of working hard, you know, to do things. It takes sweat. Matter of fact, back at the garden, part of that curse of disobedience was that Adam had to work with the sweat of his brow. So it takes hard work and a lot of things. It takes work. And but the question is, can God bring you what you need without work? He most certainly can, because he's God. And that's what we're talking about. And, you know, I'm so glad to say this, that through prayer and fasting, that there has been many supernatural things, and that's also what this Taylor Seminar is about, is supernatural. One of my favorite scriptures I like to share concerning prayer and fasting for one day is 2 Chronicles chapter 20 concerning Jehoshaphat. And I have a great leadership curriculum and a book, two books coming out of this on the leadership of Jehoshaphat. But back at Jehoshaphat, he called all Israel, or Judah, I'm sorry, that was split kingdom at that time, to fast, and they did. But to make the story short, through the process of fasting and afterwards, they fasted because enemies were coming against them. Three different peoples were coming against them. And so they were fasting for deliverance. But through that deliverance, something very unique and very God, very much God, happened. And it's in the line of supernatural, that the enemy could have left to come fight them and not bring their riches. I mean, if I was going to fight a war, I'd want to make sure I had my sword, my gun, my grenade launcher, of course, which they didn't have them back then, but whatever I need to win that war. But the Bible says that they brought all kinds of riches with them. See, God can speak to the world. He can speak to your enemies to lay it at your feet. Why does the Bible say that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous? It's in their hands, but God's got a way to get it to us. It's not for us to figure that out, but just follow his principles and have faith in doing so. But it says that after that prayer, that supernaturally the enemy was fought. They fought each other. They were gone. They just totally ran off. And let me tell you what happened. It took them 3 days to go in and accumulate all that wealth. They didn't have to bring it with them to a war, but they did. And so, therefore, there's that wealth. And then they accumulate it in 3 days. So, you see, God's got a way supernaturally to get it to you. But if you're able to work, if you're able to do anything, if you've got the education, if you've got the desire, the ambition, if you've got the initiative to follow principles, and you want to set goals and do these things, God admires that. He'll bless you. He'll bless the efforts of your hands, and he'll bring those things into you. But for whatever unknown reason that we may never know in your life, a reason you can't work or do what you need to do to get a certain task done, God's able to bring it to you. And I just wanted to share that, Brother Frank, with that question, because I think it's very important. God can do it without work, but he admires those who work. So, and I found that in working and following principles, it comes, and you know what? It's such a greater sense of achievement. And let me share this real quick, and I'm going to give it back to you, Frank, is this thing I've used in business many a times, is what makes the difference between a person that inherited a million and a person that worked and earned a million, and they both lost it. What is the difference? The difference is knowledge. The one that inherited a million, only thing he knows how to do is pray, say, God, let another kinsman die or something happen, now I get another million. But the one that earned it knows exactly how to do it again. Some of the richest people in the world and even in our nation has gone bankrupt more than one time before they reached their multiple hundreds of millions or billions. So God honors work. Brother Frank, I can keep on with this because there's so much to it. But
oh, yeah. Well, I think Brother Daniel and Dr. Judy and Chris, that I think we're setting ourselves up to continue. It seems like each week when we get here, there's just a flow of the Holy Spirit and there's an anointing to encourage us in the Lord. And when you were talking about the difference between the two people, I remember a friend of mine asked me one time when I was facing some serious business issues and really needing to break off from some partners, and he said, Frank, where's the business? And so, not really catching on to what he meant, I said, well, it's, you know where it's at. It's in such and such a city. He said, no, Frank, where's the business? He says, the business is inside of you. So if that business anointing is inside of you, it doesn't matter, it may matter, but God can overcome, and you through God can overcome even challenges in business and move that business to another place. Let me take one quick moment. I know we're running out of time, but I do feel an unction to share this, because sometimes we as children of God may make some mistakes. We may actually partner up with people that we may allow them to tell us, yes, I'm born again. And we have questions. We know they're really not walking with the Lord, but, hey, it's a good partnership. Looks like it'll work, and we go on in business. And we find out later, as I did, it was not the right connection. And so I, in this particular situation, I had, with my partners, I had co-signed notes, one note over $1 million. I co-signed another note for $360,000. And, of course, the relationship was not very favorable. And to be honest, they pushed me right out of the business that I began. So next question, never bring in more partners that can outvote you if you start the business, okay? But so I begin to pray. I begin to fast. Lord, what do I do about this debt? You know, I'm not in position to even make money out of this business, but I'm still held liable for this debt. So on the $360,000 note, I wrote the folks. I said, look, here's the situation going on. I'm not in a position to pay this. I would like for you to release me from this. And, of course, the individual said, well, we can't do that. When that particular collateral is sold, then we'll make sure you're not connected to anything in the future. I prayed about it some more, and I sent another letter. I said, I understand this stretches your regulations, but I'm going to ask again if you would release me from this. I didn't hear anything, but I got a letter in the mail one day, and it was the original documents I had signed. And they sent me back my original documents, and on top of that, they said released immediately from all liability. And on the other $1 million, because of other circumstance, God released me from that. So in a matter of a few months, God released me of almost $1.5 million. So, yes, God does work supernaturally. Even as a child of God, if we might make a decision in business that's not the best, when you do it honestly and you've done your best to follow God, God's going to get you out of that and bring you through that. So, Brother Daniel, I'm going to switch it back to you or into the rest of the hosts. You've got a few comments you want to make, and then we're going to wrap this up and go into a prayer session for those who want to stay.
Let me handle this question, Frank. Is
okay.
Another question here by Dan is, what is the story behind eating your seed? Well, I've heard that phrase many times, and those of us in business or really anyone, is we should not think that business only feeds our own desires and propensity. You know, maybe things that we want so much, and we forget to sow our seed. And that's one of the greatest things that help in business. We're talking about supernatural finances again, is you have to sow your seed. And what that means is eating your seed is sometimes people will take something that was meant to be sown in a giving manner as a gift, whether tithe, offering, or alms and helping somebody, or maybe even help another business get off of their feet, build that foundation and be successful. We spend it on our own desires, our own lusts, and that's eating your seed. So you don't get a harvest when you eat your seed. So I wanted to share that because you alluded to that earlier, that giving is very important for the supernatural to work in our business, because we just don't give, pay tithe and offering just personally. We should do it through our business as well. But I also want to share something is how later on next teleseminar is how we can keep our finances separate if we have a business and we try to operate personal life and business life out of the same pot of monies. So I want to share some information concerning that to help out some of these business owners that are having trouble in their finances. So that's the last question I have, Frank.
Very good. And we want to thank everybody for joining us. I'm going to ask Chris if you would lead us in a brief prayer. And then for those who have time and care to, you can just stay on the line. We'll keep our recorder recording, and these obviously, these conferences are available for you once we process them, and be glad to get that link back out to you. But Brother Chris, if you would lead us in a closing prayer, and then we'll go into our corporate prayer for those who have prayer requests.
Absolutely, Brother. Father God, we just thank you, Lord God. You are the giver of every good and perfect gift, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, that you are our provider, Lord. We're thankful for this time we had this evening, Lord, to share, Father God, and to understand fasting, prayer, and supernaturally how you, Father God, intervene, Lord, in circumstances in our life. We thank you, God, for what you've done. Thank you, God, for what you're going to do. We speak blessings over every listener, Father, every person on the call. Pray, Lord, that you'd reveal yourself in a great way, Lord, in the direction that you'd have for their lives. Bless their business, bless their homes, their finances, Father God, and bless them, Father God. Bless us all, Lord, that we might bless others, Lord. Bring glory and honor to you, Lord. We're so thankful for all you do for us, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brother Frank, as we get ready to close up, we want to make sure that those that want to stay on and join us in prayer, if they have a prayer request, if they hit star 6 and go into the queue, we will open the line up, unmute them so that they can share their prayer request, because we want to make sure that we cover those in prayer as well.
Absolutely. Dr. Judy, why don't you start us off, and in between you and Brother Daniel, and we'll take these requests or share some of our own.
Okay. Our Heavenly Father, now we thank you that we can apply your grace and your favor upon our lives. Lord, we thank you that you're doing a new thing even within us throughout the body of Christ. Lord, we thank you that you have given us all might, power, and authority over the enemy. Lord, we ask that you do a new thing within the church, even as we are faithful in praying, faithful in gathering in such a way, Lord. We understand, Father, that there is a new level, a new change, a new season that you have placed us in. So we ask, Lord Jesus, that you begin that mighty work as a mighty wave over the churches, over God's people, in situations, Father, that are absolutely impossible, whether it be a threat upon their life, whether it be a threat upon a family member, whether it be a threat upon the finances, Lord. We ask, Father, there be significant breakthroughs and a new level and experience and exercise in fasting and prayer in the body of Christ, Father. We look forward to the breakthroughs as we cry out to you, Father, that your name will be glorified upon the earth. Lord, spread it deep and wide, Father, in our hearts, in our lives, in our experience, Lord. We thank you for it.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Brother Daniel.
Father, we thank you this night for your spirit that has flowed in such a manner to cause everything that's said to work together, to flow together. And God, that's just the way you work. There's no strife. There's no contention. There's no division in whatever you do. And Father, we speak to every person on the line right now, to their personal lives, to their business life. Lord, that all division, any strife, any contention, any worries, any anxiety be gone in Jesus' name. And Father, we know that, most of those things are emotions of the person, and we can't cast them off. But God, we speak angels. We disperse angels into their life to work on their behalf. We ask the Holy Spirit to touch their hearts, to help them to realize. And Father, when we move away from ourselves and we move out of those emotions which are negative, that draw us away from the supernatural and allowing God to do the things that you desire to do in our life, and it causes us to limit you in our life. Father, we speak prosperity into every life, Father. We speak positive things, joy. We speak comfort and peace into every life and every business owner right now in Jesus' name. We speak all the positive things that will lift them up, that will raise their head up, that will cause them to raise their foot up, to get that extra strength to put their foot on the next rung of the ladder, and they move into a new level of success. We speak success into their life at many different levels. Father, we speak to that dam that has all the greatness of you held back, Father, that the floodgates open up and that we are washed through and through, that all the things that shouldn't be there are just washed away and there's nothing left but refreshing. Lord, regeneration, rejuvenation of your spirit. Father, I thank you tonight that every person on this call, that we believe they came tonight because they're looking for a breakthrough in their finances. Lord, they're looking for the supernatural to operate. And just as I already prayed by Dr. Judy about prayer and fasting, God is all in what we want. And Lord, when we are serious and when we are honest with ourselves, what do we want? And what are we willing to sacrifice? What are we willing to do? Are we willing to go the extra mile? Are we willing to spend in order to make money? What are we willing to do? Father, tonight, that's a question we need to ask ourselves. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you help each and every person to examine themselves, to perform a self-examination right now, and search the scriptures, Father, to find out what we need to do. And Father, just as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego searched themselves and found out they didn't want to bow to no idol, they didn't want to bow to that statue. Daniel, he didn't want to not get down and pray. He wanted to do exactly what he knew worked in his life. Lord, none of us want to get so professional where we put you to the side because you don't allow us to be too professional because we have to set a spiritual example. Father, we want to always be at the point that we're willing to recognize the door, recognize the opportunity, and be what you desire us to be foremost, and then the supernatural will operate in our life. Thank you, Father, for abundance in advance that I believe is coming upon every person on this call tonight. Thank you for abundance that I believe is coming into every business. Lord, right now we speak contracts. We speak coaching and speaking events and coaching sessions to every person on this line right now. Whatever business it may be, we speak doors opening, Father, and favor at such a level. Your word says, and Jesus taught it, as we give unto others, men will give into our bosom. Father, teach us, show us, and help us to know how we need to sow and not eat our seed, so that others may give into our bosom. And it may come as business owners. It may come in the form of contracts. It may come in the form of jobs where they don't ask anybody else, but they ask you. God, I need that favor in my life. And I believe everybody on this line needs that kind of favor in their life tonight. So, Father, we thank you that we are the accepted and the approved of the kingdom of God tonight. How do we know that? Because you gave us of your spirit. Thank you, Father. And, Lord, we just praise you and honor you for everything you've done and what you're going to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, I just come to you in the name of Jesus because I remember the story, and we talked about that a little bit in tonight's lesson of the supernatural. But Jesus stood up in that ship when the disciples were so terrified, and he spoke to the wind and the storm. Father, there is a storm brewing out there in the ocean. It's called Hurricane Isaac. And, Lord, we want to countermand all the declarations the news media and the news outlets have declared. They've declared it's going to do this, and it's going to increase in intensity, and it will be probably a stage two, and it's heading straight to New Orleans, or it's heading here, or heading there. Father, we stand now in agreement. Let this night go on record and be recorded that as we came together, we're not the only ones praying. There's another call that I'm aware of right now, this same hour, Father, that they're praying and interceding that you turn this storm back. Father, I remember, Lord, someone shared some while back. We look at sometimes, we say, this city is wicked and this one is that, and that's why God is judging it. Let's take the premise that they are, but God didn't find anybody to stand in the gap to withhold his hand of judgment. Father, we stand in the gap tonight. We stand in the gap for Mississippi. We stand in the gap for the Gulf Coast. Lord, we stand in the gap for Louisiana. We speak to that storm. We speak to Isaac. Name. You have a holy name. Now, you turn back. You're not Isaac, a man of wrath. You're a man of peace. Now, we speak to you. Turn away. Your winds will lessen, and the rain amounts will lessen. We speak, Father, supernaturally, the elements that reduce the speed and the activity of storms comes into play. Lord, that warm water, they say, Lord, causes this thing just to build as it kind of sits and hovers. We thank you then, Father, you send a cool current of water right through the warm water, and you reverse what is being said. But, Father, more than anything else, we have heard over and over the last several days, this is coming, this is coming. It's almost as if there are those that just anticipate it. It'll be a big news story. No, Father, we demand it'll be no story. No story, because you will save that coast. You will save Louisiana. There are your children living there too, Father. There are children that are seeking you today that do not want their properties destroyed, do not want their homes demolished. We stand against the storm. Christ gives us the power. He said unto us, therefore I say unto you, if you shall say to this sycamine tree, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the roots and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall obey you. Christ spoke to that fig tree, and he cursed it because it did not bear anything. Father, his words changed the natural law. Now, we've talked about faith. We've talked about the supernatural. Now, let's see what God will do. Let's put this thing that we talk about to the test. We're not afraid to do that. Our God hears prayer. Our God answers prayer. We speak to the storm, cease. We speak to the winds, calm down. We speak to the flood of rains, calm down. We speak that any water that comes inland will quickly go through drainage systems that will not be overwhelmed. We speak to levees. They are strong, but they don't have to be. That it's not their strength that will defend against the storm. It is the Holy Spirit of God that pushes this storm back out till it dissipates and there's no power left in it. Let it be known, Lord, as a storm. No more loss of life, Father. No more loss of life. We, your children, stand in the gap. We'll stand in the gap for New Orleans. We'll stand in the gap for Mississippi. We'll stand in the gap for all that coastline, Lord. We stand in the gap, Lord, for even those places this storm has come through and it thought it would hit certain places and it didn't. We decree again, it will not damage Louisiana. It will not damage that coast because the Holy Spirit, just one breath of God will just blow it away. Just blow it away now, Father. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and we give you thanksgiving. I too, Lord, must enter my prayers in with the rest of these folks that are on this line, those who are listening in and are praying themselves. I know they are. This is important stuff. This is important that we deal with finances. The enemy is seeking to destroy the financial foundation of the believers and the children of God. So we stand together as believers and we fight against the powers of darkness and we decree and declare that there is release of finances. The Lord's release for the children of God in the earth today to bring resources and to bring abundance into the house of God, and we decree health and healing as well in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I'm going to toss this back to you, Brother Daniel, let you wrap this up for us, ever how you feel directed.
Brother Chris, do you have anything on your heart you'd like to close out in, that you'd like to add in prayer at this moment? God,
no, I just appreciate Brother Frank praying that, because I was thinking about that on the way home this evening, is to pray against that storm.
So, I would like to say this right before we close out, and do appreciate you bringing that up, Brother Frank, about the storm, because there are prayer calls going on right now. Matter of fact, you and I are supposed to have been on that, but we can't be in two places. But thank God that no matter where we're at praying, we're united in the Spirit. That's what counts. And I'd like to say this now to those that are still on the call. If you need a financial breakthrough, supernatural financial breakthrough, I want you to just lift up your right hand. Right hand in the Word of God represents power and authority. Jesus is on the right-hand side of the Father. Now, with your right hand up, I just want you to say, my breakthrough is here, is here, is here. And what you're calling it to do, not to be somewhere and take its time coming, you're calling it right where you're at. And we believe that when things happen in the Spirit, there's also a manifestation in the natural. So you called it here. It's in the Spirit. Now, just wait for the manifestation in the natural. And I believe faith is Frank prayed that you could say to the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up and cast into the sea. Get rid of everything that might be a hindrance from that supernatural financial breakthrough coming in your life. Get rid of it right now. Any worry, any doubt, anything you're clinging on to, you're holding on to, get rid of it. Any of that can be the very thing that will keep your floodgate from opening. I know in electrical controls, you've got major power coming to a piece of equipment, but you've got low voltage, small power also coming in every piece of that big equipment, controlling it. So what have you got that's little power controlling the big power? That's what you need to get rid of. And that's with your hand up and you saying, here, right now, supernatural financial breakthrough here, right now. It's up to you. And I'd like to say this before we close tonight. Appreciate you joining us. I want you to keep these things that we've talked about in mind tonight. Pray over them. Pray and fast. Set some times to pray and fast. Matter of fact, go on the website and register and join a group fast with us. And what we do, we pass our requests around to each other, and we include each other in that time to pray over those things. So you're looking at a whole lot of people with the same mindset, praying over what you need prayed over. So I'd like to invite you to do that if the Lord leads you to do so. Next teleseminar, which would be a few weeks down the road, sometime in September, do want to continue this. It may still be in the realm of supernatural, but more so in finances. We covered supernatural very good, but I'd like to share some principles and things we can do that allows that supernatural to just break right on through and work in our life. And it kind of goes in hand what I was talking about, the low voltage, small voltage controlling the greater power, or the low, small power controlling the bigger power. Keep that in mind. And that's the things we want to talk about next time. Because my heart is, and I know it is with Frank, Chris, Dr. Judy, our mindset, our heart, our desires is to help you. That's why we give these teleseminars free. They will change somewhere down the road, but we want to help you. And that's part of us not eating our seed, because we want to harvest back, and I want you to get you a harvest. Praise the Lord. Anybody else, Dr. Judy, Chris, or Frank, got anything else to say before we close?
I'm all finished.
Okay.
I'm finished. Mm-hmm.
Well, God bless you all. Thank you for joining us, and keep an eye out on the website and future emails to see when our next teleseminar is and our next fasting endeavor, and consider joining us in that fasting endeavor. God bless you, and have a great night. Everybody would like to say good night, Ken, at this time as we close the lines.
Good night. God bless you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. God bless. Thank you.
Welcome.